news leader.
CKNW News Talk 980, Vancouver.
With baby boomers set to retire, a new report suggests that Canada may face an urgent labor market crisis by 2025. But experts warn that 2025 is a conservative estimate. Ian Cook says the labor shortage could hit Canada as soon as 2018. That's just 6 years from now. Does this underline the urgent need to getting our education, immigration, and other HR policies in place as soon as possible? And which industries are going to be hit the hardest? Mr. Cook is in studio with me this morning. He's Director of Research and Learning with the BC Human Resources Management Association, and BC's human resources professionals are meeting starting today in Vancouver for their annual convention. Mr. Cook, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
What are we doing about this, and what industries are most likely to be hardest hit first?
So I think some of the industries that are being hardest hit right now, which is why we say the 2025 timescale is actually quite a long window, that some of the impacts will be felt sooner. Some of them, two areas I would say. One is the resource-based industries and construction industries. You know, we've got members from organizations like Ledcor, PCL, some of the utility sector out in Alberta. They're already short staff. They're already running with vacancy rates that are 3 or 4%. They're already finding very creative ways to try and fill their skills gap. So some of it's labor shortage. Some of it's also more sophisticated in terms of the wrong people in the wrong place. So we have lots of grads, but we need truck drivers, and we need them in Fort St. John, or we need them somewhere in the north. Some of it is just a mismatch in the kinds of areas. So also, I know the hospitality sector in BC finds it challenging because of some of the nature of the work that they can offer.
Two things strike me in what you said. First of all, if you look at construction, if you're looking at resource industries, you're looking at jobs that probably people who are 62, 63, 64, 65 are physically beat up and worn or wearing out.
That's a big part of it. I mean, that's some of where the demand is coming from. You know, individuals who have invested their career in those areas. The talk of extending employment into the 60s, 70s, it's not really practical for those areas. But other parts is we haven't built the skills in the younger generation.
That's the other thing. There's been such an emphasis in recent decades about getting your kid into university.
Yes, absolutely.
And now, I mean, I talked to a young woman last week who's got a university degree. She speaks four languages, and she was serving me lunch at Earl's.
Absolutely. And this is, I think what this report is intended to really spark debate and give people a chance to rethink from many different angles because, you know, first of all, there's employers out there who are very focused on the bottom line, have been very pushing to reduce costs. And so they haven't, in the past, they might have employed your server and said, you know, okay, we're not productive from month one, but we need you in about 6 months, so we're going to actually build your skills, build your capability. They would invest more long-term in actually fulfilling their talent needs. The other piece is a lot of the employment standards type stuff, some of the government policy areas that put really quite restrictive employment practices in place, which make it hard for employers to flex. So, you know, very set hours, very strict rules around overtime, standards that were really built for an industrial era and not so much the knowledge era. So there's a bunch of different imbalances. It's not like you can point the finger in one place and say, hey, you guys fix it. It's a case of really starting to think differently.
We've just got a few minutes, so I want to make sure I get to your calls. 604-280-9898. I'm curious to know if this is affecting you, if you had a personal experience with this, whether you're looking for work or whether you're an employer or you work in human resources around the province of British Columbia. Toll free, 1-877-399-9898. My phones are open to you. Talking with Ian Cook, Director of Research and Learning with the BC Human Resources Management Association. Concerns about a severe labor market imbalance in Canada. In other words, a shortage of skilled workers. Coming as soon as 2018, in some areas it's being felt already. Your thoughts, Bruce, good morning.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm up here in Kelowna. There's two schools that do heavy equipment trainer operations. There's several do the Class 1 driver. My son spent over $20,000 getting his Class 1 and heavy equipment operators. Couldn't get any work anywhere in B.C., so he went to Grand Prairie, and they, they were wanting him to run overweight loads and everything else. So he ended up working up in the oil patch north of Fort McMurray, and that lasted for 6 months, and now he's been laid off.
Well, I don't know what you can say. You can't speak to one individual.
I can't speak to this individual circumstance, but it from the employers I'm talking to, there's a number of places where they're looking for Class 1 drivers, and it may be your son's experience is a little bit of what the future looks like for many people, is you're just going to have to hop around to find the work. It's not that the work's going to be where you grew up or where you thought it was going to be. You're going to have to hop around.
But I mentioned the young server I talked to recently, and she's considering going to BCIT. She's completed a university course, but she's considering going to BCIT, and to paraphrase what she said to me, was everybody she's gone to university with is looking for work, and everybody she knows who went to BCIT or an institution like it is working in their field.
Yeah, and I've certainly seen spoken to employers recently in a group that were saying that when they find somebody who's been through practical education, knows how to get stuff done, isn't frightened of hard work, they're very, very ready to hire them. Some of the other educational approaches, which are more, let's say, theoretically oriented and more sort of self-directed, they don't find people as work ready. So I do have an appetite for that work readiness.
Work ready is a really good term, because that's what I've noticed over a period of many years. Here at the radio station, at two television stations I worked at, when students came out of BCIT, and it's not the only place, but it's one that comes to my mind.
Yeah, they do it well.
They are work ready. They come out and they get jobs and they're able to go to work like today.
Yep. And I think that, again, that's another thing that employers may have to think about in the future, is it's great to have that work ready, but we are again meeting employers where they aren't finding people work ready, but they're not yet ready to invest in the past. They might have invested in actually helping people get work ready. I think some of those requirements are going to come back on the employer to support, and then really they need to ask government to help with that, find ways to make that more cost effective and reduce some of the challenges of actually putting that in place.
My thanks to Ian Cook, Director of Research and Learning with the BC Human Resources Management Association. We break for the news to the top of the hour. That's next.